Let there be consciousness. Good morning, everybody. Dr. Lee Bauman is my guest. He's written a number of books. Actually, the Akashic Light, we haven't discussed that yet. Window to God, A Physician's Spiritual Pilgrimage. God at the Speed of Light, The Melding of Science and Spirituality. So, and then, of course, Akashic Light, the religions, rather, common thread. And I guess we should discuss that in a moment, and then we'll go directly to calls, if you'll just stay right there. The Akashic Light, religion's common thread. What are those threads, Doctor?
In the Akashic Light art, I was basically greatly disturbed, as probably all Americans were, after the events of 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
And having done my research, which led to God at the Speed of Light, and recognizing that the God of all religions was described in terms of light, it seemed to me there was an obvious commonality amongst all religions. And, you know, the fact that Muslims were fighting Christians and were fighting just Judeo-Christian philosophies in general, and vice versa, for that matter, I felt was the major stimulus for this book. What I attempt to do is go into strict detail with all of the world's religions, showing how God is described in terms of light and how the commonalities outweigh the differences amongst our world religions. I discuss, obviously, the three omnis and consciousness. I go into all of the spiritual, the significant spiritual passages between the world's religions. And the one aspect which intrigued me the most was that dealing with Islam, with the Muslim religion.
Mm-hmm.
As Westerners, we often quote one of the surahs, one of the passages from the Quran. And we quote the passage that reads, "When you meet the unbelievers in the battlefield, strike off their heads, and when you have laid them low, bind your captives firmly." And that's one of the several passages which Westerners feel is the reason for all this violence that we're seeing from the Islamic radicals. What suddenly occurred to me in the midst of doing research for this book was, okay, you know, that's one viewpoint, and as Judeo-Christians, we can argue that they're a violent religion. But what I found as I furthered my research in this area was, you know, as Judeo-Christians, we can't talk, basically. We have as violent, if not more violent, passages in our old Old Testament, in our own Bible. The one passage which I give out in my talks reads as follows: "Moses and Eleazar, the priest, and all the leaders of the congregation went forth to meet them," speaking of the army of Moses. "And Moses was angry with them. He said, 'Have you let all the women live? Now, therefore, kill every male amongst the little ones, and kill every woman who has known man by lying with him. But all the young girls who have not known man by lying with him, keep alive for yourselves.'" And, you know, I don't bring that up to belittle the Judeo-Christian religion, because I think it's a great religion. But we just can't be hypocrites. We have our own violent passages in our own sacred texts. And I think we just need to acknowledge that. We need to acknowledge that the people incurring the violence over in the Middle East are indeed radicals. This has been going on for millennia between Christians and Muslims. And there's no reason in my mind why we all can't get along, is the oft-quoted phrase. We're really all brothers and sisters. We're worshiping the same God. And there's just no need for this violence.
Hmm. And yet, if anything, it seems to be on the increase.
Sadly, it seems to be the case. And it's a very complex situation. I'm not sure what the outcome is going to be.
All right. With that in mind, to the audience we go. First time caller line, you are on the air with Dr. Lee Bauman.
Good morning, gentlemen. This is a great conversation, Doctor and Art. You're both doing great jobs. My name's Kevin. I'm from Western Pennsylvania. And as I was listening earlier in your conversations, you were talking about time and relativity and so forth. And being that religion kind of gets smacked around when you're conversation goes between science and religion, trying to find common ground, religion takes kind of a hit. But there are indications in the Bible, and just briefly, in the New Testament, Jesus said, "In my kingdom, a day is as 1,000 years, as 1,000 years is as a day." And I'd like to get your opinion on that quote as to Genesis, relativity, and time. And the other, being a Catholic that I am, we recite what's called the Nicene Creed at Mass. And your questions I heard you asking earlier in reference to, is God light? Even way back when they made the Nicene Creed after the Council of Nicaea, they came up with this creed. And I'm just going to read a very brief part of it. God from God, light from light. True God from true God, begotten, not made, one in being with the Father. So I throw that at you. It's something to think about. What, Doctor, what would your opinion be on that?
First of all, Kevin, I think that's an excellent question. The passage about 1,000 years, I think works in so beautifully with what I described earlier about Gerald Schroeder's melding of the days of Genesis with the scientific era of 16 billion years, and I would have to wonder whether that passage isn't a reference to a similar relationship. The fact that the day that is used in Genesis is and cannot be just the 24-hour Earth day, and is probably indeed much more. In fact, I would argue more than even thousands of years, we would actually be talking billions of years. So that is how I would address the first question. Regarding the Nicene Creed, I think, again, the comment relative to God is God, light is light, I could see that some would argue that they're not the same, that indeed they're separated in that creed. And I think others would take the opposite viewpoint and say, you know, they're right next to one another and they're implying a relationship. So I don't know what the people who attended the Council of Nicaea, what their actual intent was, but certainly you know my viewpoint.
Wasn't that the very same council where the whole concept of reincarnation was basically dumped?
Yes, I believe that is correct. I think that is the council where they said that any thought of reincarnation was anathema.
Mm-hmm. And doesn't that have to do with control? If you're coming back again and again, then any control in this lifetime is off the table almost.
I would have to agree with that. I think people do often try to control religion and our minds by statements, and we have the power as humans to either accept or refute, you know, those type of demands and even creeds for that matter.
Okay, west of the Rockies, Larry in San Francisco, you're on with Dr. Bauman.
Two questions, Dr. Bauman. Are you aware of the prevalence of light images in psychedelic experiences, especially with the tryptamine psychedelics such as psilocybin mushrooms, ayahuasca? People often report the sun I know in my own case with mushrooms, I almost, the sun was so bright, even though it was at night, that my impression of the sun was so bright, I felt like I was getting a sunburn. People often report seeing eyes, eyes that eat you up. They're so intense looking. So eyes and light and so on in psychedelic experiences. I wonder if that plays into what you're talking about. And the other question, more basic, is simply, if the light is God, what's the dark? Is the dark God also? Is the dark the devil? I remember a song I used to sing when I was a pagan that said, well, you know, that talked about, well, how beautiful the light is, but the dark is healing. The dark is where the answers are to things that have no answers. And, the dark has a place in the world, too.
Okay, caller, a lot to tackle there. Psychedelics, I don't know, doctor, whether you've looked into this at all, but I've interviewed many pretty legitimate people who feel that there is a path to that we call God, or our inner self, our consciousness, through the use of some of these psychedelics. Any comment?
Yes, I have several comments, actually. One, I think there could be a very rational argument that some drugs do indeed help reduce the veil that separates us, perhaps, from our Creator, and that's why we're seeing the light. So I could see that as one valid argument. Whether that's the actual answer, I don't know. And the second comment is that obviously that's one reason why people who do not believe that the NDE is a part of the future afterlife is, you know, their conviction that drugs are causing the experience. And that is where I would refute that argument, because so many people have the same experience who have received no drugs and similarly have had also no anoxia or...
Doctor, people who have taken some of these psychedelics report remarkably similar experiences.
Yes, exactly.
Remarkably similar. And his other comment was about the darkness. If light, in a sense, represents God, then what does darkness represent?
I love that question, because certainly you can go into the world's literature, and just as I made comments favorable about the light, you always read the what we have always assumed to be the metaphors about the dark, you know, representing Satan and whatnot. I do not know about that. The darkness is certainly an area of intrigue for me. If you look at the physics literature, what you find is that even in the total absolute darkness of outer space, there are over 400 million photons of light, but it's non-visible light. So light still exists even in total darkness. One of the things which I tell people who do describe some of these hellish dark NDEs to me is that, you know, you're still in the light. It's a non-visible light, but I give that information out at least as some small form of comfort for those that have that experience, because there is actually light in total darkness.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's go to wildcard line 3. That would be Mark in Pennsylvania. You're on with Dr. Bauman.
Good evening, or good morning.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Quite a range of topics tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Just let me premise myself as I believe that I'm a natural scientist and that I had some NDEs 20, 25 years ago and led me down the same path that you gentlemen are talking about tonight. I just wanted to throw a couple concepts out at you and then ask a question. And by the way, that antimatter, quantum physics may discover that there's a whole spectrum range of light, which we know nothing about. just as the spectrum of light we know today, the antimatter qualities may turn out that another completely different spectrum of scientific qualities of antimatter in the frequency.
Okay, you have a question?
Well, my first comment is if you consider what God considers as time as out being out of our space and time, consider a yardstick. Zero would be 2,000 years ago. 18 inches would be today, and 36 inches would be 2,000 years ahead of us, if you had God's perspective of time outside of our time. We talk about a collective consciousness. In our mind, Art, right now, you can feel your toe, and you can feel your finger at the same time. All right? Imagine if your toe was 10 million light years out there, and your finger was 10 million light years in the other direction. In your own mind, in your consciousness, you can feel both of those places at the same time. And it could be that the consciousness of God can actually be in those same two places, like we can feel our finger and our toe at the same time. My question is, relates to physics and Einstein. Einstein predicted black holes. He knew black holes existed. Theoretically, he worked out that stars would collapse and black holes would be created nearly 70 years after Einstein. Man saw light bending around black holes. In fact, man discovered that light is sucked into black holes, and there's probably an energy change with the acceleration of light in a black hole. So my question really is, with our perceptions, with our known perception, what we know today, light is matter. And we can now prove that light matter is susceptible to gravitational pull, just like any other matter in the universe.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So I wanted to know if Dr. Bauman had ever considered that, and it's saying that light is God. And I believe that light is just another creation of God, and that it's maybe a vehicle of communication by God. But light by itself, in our perception, is still matter.
Okay. All right. Light as matter, Doctor?
Yes. Very good question. And certainly Einstein, with his famous equation E for energy equals mc squared, where m basically stands for matter, would verify that. So I feel that that's a proven concept that certainly exists out there. The fact that gravity is able to bend light, and wondering if, you know, gravity, whether Mark is suggesting that gravity has some type of power over light and hence God, which, you know, would not be very rational. Again, I would make the observation that, according to Einstein, gravity is merely a warping of space, and that again is an observation that we as humans have regarding gravity, because we're again locked within the four dimensions of space and time. Whether that actually holds true for the photon itself, because just because we observe something doesn't mean that that's the case for light.
It's an interesting point. All right, Doctor, hold it right there. Dr. Lee Bauman is my guest from the high desert in the middle of the night. I'm Art Bell. You know, it's very interesting, actually, over the years now, and it's been a lot of years, my own feelings, my own religious philosophy, and all the rest of it, my own feelings about how we got here, who God is, whether God's real, and how it all fits together, have been formed by years of listening to the guests that I've had on this program. And that influence probably bigger than any other in my life. Sort of the university of the air, as it were. Dr. Lee Bauman is the teacher this night, and he'll be right back. Doctor, you seem to associate light with the creator. Adam in Andover, Minnesota, sends the following by computer. It's been shown that light travels through the path of least time, not least resistance. What if light were to bend around black holes? Because it would be much faster than traveling through one.
Very interesting question. The concept of least time, I remember hearing about in a Richard Feynman lecture, so I know that is certainly a valid and proven concept for the travel of light through space. So I have no problem with that at all. I'm not sure I totally understand the relationship between it traveling around it as opposed to traveling through it, because it would be my understanding that the light that is actually impacting directly with the black hole would be absorbed by the black hole, and the only light that is being bent around it are those light waves that are traveling out beyond the perimeter and then are bent toward in that direction again, so that we were even able to visualize it. So I'm not sure if I've answered that question. But that's my understanding.
All right. West of the Rockies, Autumn in New Mexico. You're on with Dr. Bauman.
Yes, good evening, Dr. and Art. I'm really enjoying your show.
Thank you.
I have a question about once when I was ill and right before I didn't pass out, but I blacked out. I saw black, and right after I saw black, I saw a grid. Have you heard of that happening before, and what do you think that means?
I wasn't clear. I'm sorry, Doctor.
I'm not familiar with the grid.
Right.
Certainly, I've heard various scenarios for different type of near-death-like experiences. The grid, I cannot give or even give an opinion on. I'm not familiar with it.
Okay, can you describe what you mean by a grid?
A grid, such as, you know, I don't know how to say it actually. You know, like a chart. When you make a chart and there's a grid, just lines that are crossed.
Okay. All right, so that's what you saw. Very difficult. That I agree with the doctor. It's going to be hard for us to comment, Autumn. But thank you very much for the question, Doctor. People see a lot of different things in altered states, I guess would be a way to put it.
Right.
And it's really hard to separate it all. And I guess all you can do is keep studying. But a grid, that's kind of interesting.
I continue to search, there's no doubt.
East of the Rockies in Texas, Matthew, you're on with Dr. Bauman.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, Art.
Sure.
I have a comment here. I was wondering if either one of y'all are familiar with the term catapult, as it's used in the Bible.
Not me.
Okay, see, I do a lot of Bible study in ancient languages, the Hebrew, Aramaic, and stuff like that. The catapult is an event that happened... I got to go back to the beginning, Genesis here. The very first words out of Genesis is, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, period. It stops right there. Then an event happened called the catapult, which was Satan's overthrow. God destroyed that earth age that was then. That's when the dinosaurs were here and stuff like that. The Hebrew is really specific. And it goes on to say that then the earth was void and without form. The Hebrew says the earth became void and without form. And I believe that, you know, the first earth age, that's when their dinosaurs were roaming around and stuff like that. God destroyed that age, and he ushered in a new one. And you can kind of date it back to about maybe 12, 13,000 years ago. That's why you see, you know, mastodons with buttercups in their mouths. You see palm trees at the North Pole. A large event happened at that time, and most scholars agree that it was about 12,000 years ago. And as 1,000 years with the Lord, as it's, you know, you can go in the Hebrew with that too. he can almost get it down to God created the earth, you know, on the sixth day, the seventh day he rested. Well, that's about 7,000 years. And you kind of start getting to where we're at now, if you follow that chronological order. And you can also see where civilization started. You know, they call the cradles of civilization Mesopotamia. And they define, you know, what makes someone civilized is the ability to farm and not be hunters and gatherers. And most scholars agree that that was around the Mesopotamia time. And Adam, which was made on the eighth day, was a farmer. God created a farmer. So see, all this kind of relates. It goes, it kind of all coincides with a long time scale happening here. And it all makes, you know, pretty good sense. Any comments on that?
I think it's an excellent observation, Matthew. I personally am not familiar with the term catapult, so I really cannot address that in any meaningful way.
Nor am I. Wildcard Line, Lawrence in Billings, Montana.
Good evening, gentlemen. It's an honor to speak to you, Mr. Bell.
Thank you.
Thank you for taking my call. I had a near-death experience I'd like to relate and then a question.
Mm-hmm.
I was admitted to the hospital emergency room. First, I went in a couple weeks earlier with a slight headache, and they put me on the CAT scanner. They said I had glioblastoma multiforme and 30 days to live. Okay, how distressing is that? Then they did an MRI, and they found out, oops, are we bad? It's not cancer. It's just an abscess. We can treat it with antibiotics, which they proceeded to do, and it did no good. And a week later, I fell into a coma. I was rushed to the ER. They had to do an emergency right-side craniotomy to remove a mass about the size of a small softball that had stopped the flow of blood to my brain and basically killed me for 5 minutes. I remember the experience quite lucidly. Was no light. It was pitch black. I was suspended above this gray plane that stretched off into the distance in infinity. And the weirdest thing about the whole experience was I remembered being there before. At the time, I was totally relaxed and happy to be there, total joy and elation to be back home. I don't know why I felt that way, because before and after the experience, I don't have any recollection of ever being there before. But when I was there, I was right at home. I saw little multicolored packets of light running along the gray plane beneath my perspective, astral plane, if you will. And they were running along the plane until they encountered a little ditch, and they'd go into this little trough, and the plane disappear. As soon as I crossed past that threshold, and I had the feeling of movement, it was a completely visual and emotional experience. All of a sudden, I'm standing in an Earth-like environment, blue skies, beautiful manicured lawns, trees, and I turn and look in another direction. There stands my father and my best friend Lance, both who had died several years earlier. And they appeared to be a white hologram. And they were both smiling at me as if to say, welcome to the other side, son.
Mm-hmm.
But they were smiling because those dirty turkeys knew I had to come back. And when I woke up in the ICU, I was not a happy camper. I thought, oh, great, back for more pain and suffering, I see. And I saw no light whatsoever, except for the multicolored packets that were going into the little trough. And I was wondering how the doctor would interpret that.
Interpret not seeing any light at all?
No, the little multicolored packets of light that were running along the plane and then dropped into the little ditch. My interpretation, and I'm probably full of it, is that it was those unfortunate life forms that didn't get to make it across. They were recycled, and they were put into what I call the cosmic sewer system to be reutilized again when another life form is animated. I don't know.
Okay, well, why not? Doctor, any comment?
Well, Lawrence, yours reminds me how each time I hear a different NDE experience, it is as fresh and rewarding as the time I heard the first one. Personally, I do believe those light packets, as you describe, were some type of spirits. Now, beyond that, you know, would just be conjecture. But I would certainly guess that they were spirits.
Well, he suggested they were in some sort of cosmic Benjo ditch running along, waiting to recycle.
Well, I have actually heard descriptions of gray spirits that appeared confused, shuffling feet, that type of thing, in other NDEs, and that is certainly a possibility.
Wildcard line, Ivan in Houston, Texas. You're on with Dr. Bauman.
Hi, the first car stole my thunder, but my brother told me this kind of like a joke a while back, and it goes, this person asks God what's a second to him, and God responds, 1 million years. Then the person asks God, what's $1 million to you, and and God goes, 1 cent. Then the person asks God for $1 million, and God answers them in 1 second. And that was my joke.
Right. Heard it long time ago, but still good.
Yeah.
That's it?
Yeah, that's it. The first caller stole my thunder, so yeah, that's about it.
It makes you think, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
Okay. All right, well, it does, and the whole concept of a longer time frame certainly fits in with this whole creation evolution business. And I've always thought, Doctor, that the fact that evolution is real and all this time really has passed does not preclude God's hand being still behind it all, right? Isn't that what it comes down to?
Absolutely. I am in total agreement, Art.
Okay. Let's go west of the Rockies to Garth in Seattle.
Hi, Art. Hello, Dr. Bauman.
Hello.
Hi.
My question concerning light and basically time slowing down, of course, you get the speed of light and stopping altogether at the speed of light. If you extrapolate on that, I think if you go faster than light, time would reverse itself. And if you're getting older sublight, you would get younger faster than light. And maybe that's why the government maybe doesn't say anything about faster than light travel or vehicles capable of that. I was wondering what you thought. I'll use Chuck Yeager breaking the sound barrier as an analogy. You can't travel at the speed of sound because your atoms will rattle apart. But once you break it and get beyond it, then everything smooths out.
Yes. Well, actually, physicists, the majority feel that it is impossible to go faster than the speed of light. However, there are a few that believe that particles known as tachyons exist, which do travel faster than the speed of light. So it really depends on which side of the line that you're on as to whether time reversal is possible.
Okay, well, wouldn't that also apply to this spooky new world of quantum physics? In other words, I've had it explained to me, but still do not understand how two particles could react in a way that implies communication between them without there being communication between them. And if there is communication between them, it's occurring at faster than light speed.
Correct. That certainly is a concept that neither I nor probably most physicists have worked out. It seems to be the case that information, and that's the key, it's information. It's not a particle. It's not a wave. It's information, almost.
Okay.
You could equate that with consciousness, I think. But that seems to be a different element from matter, from energy. Consciousness seems to be a separate concept altogether.
It does, but the implication still to me is that there has to be some kind of communication.
Yes.
And that's through a medium we don't understand, but apparently faster than light.
I agree. I think the point that I would like to make is that it's not a particle and it's not a wave that is actually going faster than light. It seems to be knowledge or communication, as you say it, and I think that perhaps is what consciousness is all about.
Okay. Joe in Los Angeles, Wildcard Line, you're on the air with Dr. Bauman.
Thank you very much for taking my call, Mr. Art Bell.
Sure.
East Los Angeles. I want to talk about antimatter. What is it? Black matter in the universe. Dark matter, they call it. And I want to talk about quarks. Our quarks, they also have an infinite ability, quarks. And this issue of multi-dimensions that we somehow coexist, like there's 10 of me and 10 different other dimensions, all acting itself out. I don't know if that's true or not. I don't know if there's hundreds of me acting out in multi-dimensions. Maybe you could explain that to me.
All right, well, let's tackle that last one on multi-dimensions. The others might be more suited for somebody else. Doctor?
Well, I love the aspect about multi-dimensions because
I thought so.
We, you know, there's the problem with wave-particle duality that people familiar with quantum physics are familiar with, and there's a concept or at least a theory known as string theory, which addresses and basically brings together those two divergent concepts. However, the two most prominent string theories, one known as bosonic and the other known as the superstring, require a minimum of either 10 or 26 dimensions to exist, mm-hmm. Certainly not the simple four that we are so intimately familiar with. So the existence of multiple dimensions is very possible, assuming that we are on the verge of proving the rationality of this new string theory, which is so prominent today.
Well, there are a lot of people arguing the string theory. I want to give you a moment to kind of plug what you're doing. You can't plug your new science fiction book yet because it's not here. But the latest, I guess, is The Akashic Light. Is that correct?
It is, yes. Thank you.
And that's available at Amazon.com, that sort of place?
It's available at any of the Internet websites. Amazon is certainly the most popular and well-known.
Mm-hmm. Of the books that you have written, Doctor, if somebody were just starting, intrigued by what you've said tonight, and wants to understand what you've said tonight, which of your books would you buy?
I would recommend, actually, The Akashic Light. By the time I wrote my third book, I think I had more adeptly been able to process complex terms into lay terms. So I think it is probably the best book for lay people wishing to understand the elements of quantum physics.
And when might we expect your latest? I'm a big science fiction fan.
Oh, you're very kind. I absolutely have no idea. My comfort level is so untenable that I may be struggling with it for some time.
All right. Well, good luck with the struggle, Doctor. Thank you for being here, and have a good night.
It has been a pleasure to be on Coast to Coast. Thank you, Art.
Take care, my friend. And that's it for this night. However, tomorrow night, Lynn McTaggart will be here, and we'll be talking about the force, actually. The force. So good night all from the high desert in the great American Southwest. Till tomorrow.